Holy jumping! Welcome to the opening face-off episode of a show we like to call Third Line Grinders, because we ourselves would probably play on the third line and would definitely be in the category of grinders if we played hockey. The guy on the bottom did play. The on your screen. That's Will Flint. He's the god of hockey to all of you. So you need to remember that, okay? Because this guy knows what he's talking about, okay? He played. He played the game, people. He played the game. Christian and I just watch it and talk about it, and I failed to skate on the internet.
Is there a video?
Somebody made a TikTok about it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, there's...
You're going to have to send that to me. I haven't seen that.
Christian, yeah. Live from the other state of hockey, known as Minnesota. That's Christian Emery. I'm Brett Wiseman. The three of us will be your co-hosts. And what makes a great forward line is chemistry and tenacity, as well as intelligence and knowledge about the game of hockey. Those things we all have. If you can't tell, if you're watching the video portion of this program, I am a Blues fan. Shocking. Christian's a Hurricanes fan. He's from Raleigh, so he's our resident Caniac, as they are known. Will is a Capitals fan. He hails from the great state of South Carolina, not far from the home of the South Carolina Stingrays of the East Coast Hockey League.
Greenville, Swamp Rabbits.
Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Yes. Yeah. Forgot they changed the name again.
Yeah.
Anyway, they play at a place called Bon Secours Wellness Arena, which if you're a Duke basketball fan, you'd like to forget exists. Anyways, let's get into some hockey here. Christian.
Yes.
Your Hurricanes.
Yeah. What about
we? Kind of, you and I kind of talked about it last week on the Score with Brett Wiseman, which you should also check out here on Tobacco Road Sports Radio .com. We kind of talked about the moves that they made over the offseason and why bowing out of the Erik Karlsson sweepstakes was a good thing. I think you and I are in agreement on that. We haven't necessarily heard, you and I, what Will thinks about this Hurricanes team and the moves that they made. You bring in Michael Bunting, boom, scores in his first game as a Hurricane.
Great move.
Looks like it's paying off fantastically. You lose Gostisbehere. Okay, he's going to Detroit. All right. You know, you've still got that quarterback, that power play quarterback in Brent Burns, Will. You add Dmitry Orlov, who is someone that you as a Caps fan know very, very well. So when you look at this Canes team, Will, you know, Christian and I both think, if this team stays healthy, this is a team that could probably make a Stanley Cup run. The key words there are stay healthy, because we all saw what happened when Andrei Svechnikov went down last year. That took everything off the rails completely. And what that team didn't have, Christian, and you and I talked about, they didn't have depth behind Svechnikov, Aho. The Teuvo Teravainen of old was not. The guys that needed to step up scoring-wise simply did not. You needed to see more out of Marty Natchez, out of Jordan Martinook, out of the scorers. And you didn't. All right? So you go get Michael Bunting, who provides a mix of two things you needed. You needed some tenacity. You needed some of that net front presence. And you needed somebody that could score. I think in that Ottawa game opening night, he gets the first goal. I think he also had 5 or 6 hits. He was a +2 or a +3 in that game and played about 16 or 17 minutes out there on the ice. I mean, he saw a lot of ice time for his first game with a new team. And I think that's telling. And when you look towards the end of the game, the hit that Orlov made speaks to his MO and his mentality. And it really shores up what I thought was one of the best 6-man defensive units in all the NHL last year that the Hurricanes had. and it gets even better. So, Will, when you look at this Hurricanes team, obviously the key is for them to stay healthy, but even if they don't, it is the depth there behind the Svechnikov, the Aho, the Natchez, with an addition of someone like a Michael Bunting, is the depth there for this team to make a run?
I'd say there's a good chance. I mean, then again, it's still early in the year. There's a good chance for just about anybody to make a run if they can stay healthy. And that goes for most of the teams in the Metro, actually. It's just no one's been able to stay healthy for long enough. And even if the team has been healthy enough, like the Flyers, I haven't heard much about their injury history, but they've, you know, supposedly been healthy. They've just been awful. But as for, you know, the Canes, they can – Bunting's a good player. It's just going to be interesting to see, you know, how he does outside of Toronto. And, I mean, he scored tonight. He third star of the game, looked pretty good. I didn't get to catch the game really too much of it. But the depth is there. Adding Orlov is definitely going to shore up their back end, especially when most there, they have D'Angelo's right shot, Burns' right shot. They need another left shot guy that's, you know, very steady back there. And Orlov can provide offense, can provide defense. He's going to do just about anything you want him to do. And he's going to, you know, he gets about one or two hip checks a season that make you say, okay, yeah, that's how that's done. It reminds me a little bit of Vitaly Vasilevskiy, actually. If you guys are going to have to go back and look at like some 2006 hits videos or something, but old Mighty Ducks player, actually. But he had like multiple hip checks that were just perfect. So, yeah, I think, again, if they stay healthy, they can make a run. I don't know about all the way to the Cup final. It's about who's going to stay healthy, really, because somebody's going to go down, unfortunately. And, you know, hopefully it's – I can't wish them too much luck since they're a division rival, but I think they've got a good shot. They're probably going to be in that conversation for that number one seed in the Metro. And if not, they're going to be taking that second spot probably.
Christian?
Yeah, pretty much everything he said is – accurate. I can't really find much fault in it except for I'll save that for a later time, but overall pretty much accurate. I don't really have anything to say other than they can definitely make a run, and again, if they stay healthy, Brett, you and I both had them in the Cup final, which means that we both know they're not going to make the Cup final now.
Right. Our prediction was a 2006 rematch. So that was actually my prediction in the bracket last year. What was Edmonton, Carolina? So I think that backup even has a better chance to happen this year.
Who's Edmonton's or Carolina's?
Who is Carolina's backup? Because I know they sent
Svechnikov.
Yeah, I knew they sent him down. They loaned him because they. I don't know what it is with the Canes. They are like, well, we're not going to have a farm team.
That was Chicago's decision, not theirs.
Oh, okay. All right. But
yeah, that was the Wolves' decision.
I've got some gripes in terms of how the Canes do some things in terms of their farm systems as well. But I'll save that for, you know, whenever we run out of other things to talk about that are more important.
Yeah, it's still on zero.
It's probably not going to last long. I'm sure we'll find a way to squeeze that in at some point. But, yeah. Christian, when you look at the scope of this division, especially based off of what we saw from a lot of these teams on their respective opening nights, you look at the Hurricanes game, 3-1 lead going into the third. Ottawa scores two goals in like 25 seconds.
35.
Ties the game back up. 35. Okay, cool. I was 10 seconds off. Wow. Brady Shea just unleashes a cannon, makes it a 4-3 game. It looked to me like that was the kind of game last year down the stretch without Svechnikov and without an Orlov that the Canes would have maybe faltered in, maybe wouldn't have been able to get the go-ahead goal, maybe would have won it in overtime, but they wouldn't have found a way to punch right back. And I think having that on opening night is telling in terms of what Rod Brind'Amour wants out of this team based on how last year ended is he wants response. He wants counter punches, and he wants them fast and in a hurry.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. And then the other goal was scored by Jacob Slavin shorthanded. So yeah, Brind'Amour is going to, he's put an emphasis on the defense more than he has in past or in recent years, which Canes fans need to realize the defense can score. You don't need to go get a score, but that's a whole nother argument for a different time.
Let's talk about it because there's a lot of Canes fans that think Erik Karlsson should not be a Pittsburgh Penguin. He should be a Carolina Hurricane. But the rumors started to swirl, of course, after you spent the money on Orlov, which, by the way, 2 years, about seven bad. Per, that's a bad. Steal
yeah,
that's for someone bad. That won a Stanley Cup 3 years ago.
Unfortunately, 7. A little bit more than 3 years ago.
Actually, it was 5 years ago. Anyways.
Don't remind me, please.
7.3 AAV for a guy that's 5 years removed from winning a Stanley Cup.
That's
pretty darn good. If you ask
and he's
me.
Only in his early 30s, too.
Right. To slide him onto
he's on the third line right now.
With, yeah, to slide him onto a third D pair. Like, think about this. He was, well, I believe he was on the second D pair.
He was on our second.
Last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was on our second D pair. So usually they like to rock Karlsson and Ferriarvi. Ironically, when I don't know how many games they got to play together actually, because well, one of them was usually injured, as with everyone on the rest of the roster. I'm getting a little heated about that. Everyone's hurt all the time. But so usually it was Orlov and Jensen. So before Jensen got there, it was always Orlov and Niskanen. And so kind of the good puck moving defenseman that's also good in his own zone that might not necessarily score a goal or whatever is usually a good person to pair with Orlov, who can score, who can do everything else. That's usually somebody that's going to be a good pairing with him. And so they normally found him on the second end or second pairing, first pairing sometimes. In the NHL games, I always put, you know, I'd put Orlov on the first line with Karlsson because, you know, the overall stuff and you know, all that. But he's a good, solid guy. You can basically put him anywhere. He's going to play well.
And that's why you don't have to have a need to go get an Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, too much money.
You've got that depth. It would have been a massive amount of money. Who knows how much salary San Jose would have retained if they would retain the same amount that they did to Pittsburgh, yada, yada. There were some salary cap gymnastics just to get the trade done from Pittsburgh.
Also, you got to give up way too much capital, too. Like, that's way too much draft capital and other things to do, especially for Carolina that, I don't know, I'm not saying that Raleigh's a small city, but just in terms of you're not attracting the biggest free agents there, technically. I don't know, they've pulled some guys that, you know, probably have been, I don't know, a bit shocking to people that are outside of these markets. But it's just like, Karlsson to Carolina, gonna be honest with you, I didn't hear much about that until like, you know, a few minutes ago. To be honest with you, I didn't think he was gonna go there at all.
Christian and I kind of went back and forth. Oh yeah, Christian and I went back and forth on that for a majority of the summer. Our conversations were, "What have you heard about Erik Karlsson?"
yeah, pretty much. And then there was Tarasenko, but we'll get to that.
What? Yeah,
that one should have gone through. That would have been nice to see him there, but I was also hoping
he
the Caps
on that
might
poster back there on my wall. So
I was hoping the Caps are going to try to, you know, maybe do something with that. But then again, we got to get these young guys playing or else, you know, it's the next few years are going to be, you know, really depressing.
Here's the thing, Christian, I didn't really see a whole lot of Vladimir Tarasenko show up for Ottawa the other night.
No, he
in Raleigh.
Yeah, no, not a whole lot. He didn't score. It was a 5-3 5-3 win, and he didn't really have a whole lot of anything. I think I heard his name called maybe two or three times by Maniscalco during the game. And I mean, Ottawa's a young team and they're talented, but he didn't really play a huge
game. But you think adding a Tarasenko to a Claude Giroux and having those veteran presences around Drake Batherson, Tim Stützle, Brady Tkachuk, and the young group of defensemen that they have, you know, you'd think you'd hear the veterans' names called just as much, especially when you go out and get Yunus Korpisalo to be your goaltender.
Yeah, and their D pairing, for the most part, shut Carolina down they fought Carolina's top pairings during the first period of that game pretty well. And the Ottawa took a
and it took until close to the end of that first period for Bunting to get that goal, and it was all net front presence that made that goal happen. So, like we said, it's going to be a good litmus test here the opening week, Christian. I don't know if you've got their schedule pulled up, but Carolina goes to LA on Saturday. I know that. So it's an LA team that was, you know, a few bad puck bounces away from a Western Conference final last year. So that's a good test. And, you know, the first week here is not going to be a walk in the woods here. It's not going to be easy.
Their schedule is they'll go to LA on Saturday. They're in Anaheim on Sunday. Tuesday they're in San Jose.
Let me tell you, just because those two teams are close, that back-to-back is never an easy one to pull off.
No.
Especially with the time zone changes. At least you're in one place.
And then they're playing the West Coast teams for the next four games. They're in LA, they're in Anaheim, they're in San Jose, then they're in Seattle. Then they're in Denver or the Colorado, then they're at Tampa. So the next six games are on the road. And I think seven of their next 10 are on the road to start the year, if I remember correctly.
Right. So, I mean, you want to talk about a good test, especially considering the fact that this team ended the season last year on the road, had home ice in that series, lost the first two games, went on the road, and then lost the next two. But according to Rod Brindamore, they didn't get swept. So when seven of your first 11 games are on the road, you know, that to me, fellas, we wrap this segment up, that to me, and we'll turn to you for this, that to me is the mark of what can make or break a strong team. Not just even from a talent or a depth perspective, and we could look at numbers and yada yada, but when seven of your first 11 games are on the road, especially with how last season ended for you, that's going to be a really good litmus test of your character and your fortitude and your togetherness as a team.
And I'll say this, like, I mean, the first few games are always, I don't know, they can be really fun. And so getting on the road and just, you know, hanging out and getting to know the new guys and stuff like that, that's a good plus for them. But question for you guys, if you were, you know, on an NHL roster, would you want to, you know, be on the road for your first, you know, what, seven of your first 11 games, and especially on the West Coast? Would you guys want that, or would you rather put that a little bit, you know, in the middle of the season or towards the later end of the season? What would you guys want?
I'd rather just get it out of the way early.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to go with. But, and look, as tough as it is and as good a litmus test as it is, I think those are positives, really. When you go all the way to the other end of the country, seven of the first 11 games of the year, you spend a lot of time with some of these new guys on the plane, on the bus, in the hotel rooms, at practice. You know, that brings a level of camaraderie that not a whole lot of other teams are going to be able to get. And I think that's going to pay dividends for Carolina, because they're going to get to know each other a lot better. And they're going to go ahead and get that tough trip out of the way. I think if you have this trip in January or February, when right after the All-Star break, when the bodies are starting to wear down a little bit, and every team is looking forward to that 4 or 5 days off of the All-Star break, or the lag that a lot of teams go through coming out of the All-Star break, trying to get their legs back. I think getting this trip out of the way, because everybody's got to do it at some point, I think getting this out of the way not only brings you closer together as a team, but it sets you up better for the turn of the calendar. When we get into 2024, in any of those tougher months, when the games start getting tighter and, you know, every inch on the ice is a little bit more contested than it is right now, I think having that trip out of the way is going to pay huge dividends for them. We got to get in the break. When we come back here on Third Line Grinders, we'll get into the rest of the Metropolitan Division. We'll look at the Central Division as well. Talk about my St. Louis Blues. And then, as I like to call them, the Ocean Divisions. A lot more to come. It's NHL Faceoff Week, and it's the opening faceoff episode of Third Line Grinders. More after this. Back here on Third Line Grinders, the Tobacco Road Sports Radio Hockey Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Brett Wiseman. That's Christian Emery and Will Flint alongside us. Will played. Christian can kind of skate. I kind of can't, but we're here to talk hockey. Christian said that the road trip for the Hurricanes is the annual state fair road trip, which I forgot about, but it's not always to the West Coast, though, is it?
Yeah, a lot of the time they'll, from what I remember, they'll play Western Conference teams on the road, whether it be like they're doing on the West Coast, or they'll be in Western Canada. I know for a long time it was they would be in Edmonton, Calgary, etc. But either way, they're on the road for that road trip. I think the fair, if I'm looking at it now, that starts on the 12th and it ends on the 22nd. So that would make sense, not wanting to have
that much that traffic. Makes sense time-wise. Yeah. But look, you said you're old. I see Cam Ward and David Backes as legends in NHL 24, and then I really feel old. So
okay, that just hit me. Holy even, crap.
I saw Andy McDonald in last year's game, and I was like, oh my gosh, Steve Ruchin?
Seriously, I saw Brent Seabrook as a legend, and I'm like, and David Backes on the same like sheet that they put out for the video game, and I'm like, wait a minute. Brent Seabrook tried to kill David Backes. That's why I hate Brent Seabrook.
I've got something for later.
Yeah, story time. When I was working for a team, we were on a bus ride. The coach asked me, you know, it was like 3:30 in the morning, so we're trying to keep our bus driver awake because it's what you do sometimes on some of those longer trips. Will knows.
Keeping my dad awake usually.
Coach asked me what player I hated the most, and I think he thought I was going to say Brad Marchand. I, without hesitation, said Brent Seabrook. Because, and you know, he kind of looked at me weird. He's like, that's a weird name to bring up for somebody.
No one's ever said that.
And I was like, it's because he tried to kill my captain. And coach had no idea what I was talking about. So I went and pulled up the clip of the 2013 playoffs. Seabrook headhunts David Backes, and Duncan Keith stands over Backes, and you hear on the mic that's right there by the ice. You hear Duncan Keith say, wakey, wakey, Backes, which is an all-time line. And the best part of that was David Backes had no idea what his name was, what day it was, what planet he was on. His head was in section 213, and he got back up on his feet and tried to fight because that's just what David Backes does. Anyways, we got a little sidetracked right there. Back to the Metropolitan.
That's a silver medalist right there.
Wow, that's dumb. Thanks.
Well, we're all U.S. Well, we're all Team USA fans.
I'm kidding.
This is a silver medalist.
I very much like the fact that he was a silver medalist. By the way, TJ Oshie still owns Russia, just in case anyone needed a reminder.
I will say they called up a goal. The entire reason that game went to overtime is because they called up a Russia goal, though. The net came off just barely or whatever. And
right.
I remember watching that game. Like
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still can't believe they got away with that in Russia for those Olympics, but that's just crazy.
We're going to have to spend a whole another hour on a bunch of international stuff at some point. Like we're going to have a good time.
We're just going to need a whole separate show where we just go off script.
Can it be uncensored?
Maybe we don't. I don't know. It would probably have to be if we're off script. Let's talk about the teams in New York and New Jersey. Yeah, let the scriptwriter cook, will you? The teams in New York and New Jersey. We know who the Islanders are. right? Pretty clearly. We got a general idea. They didn't get players. Better. They didn't get better. They also didn't get worse. Like, they're the Dennis Green. They are who we thought they were. Yeah. They are who we think they are.
Uncle Lou was awake for this offseason. Like, what was it last year? He didn't wake up till like 2 days before the season started and said, well
he assumed he was going to get Gaudreau too. That's part of his problem.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know. It's then again, he's got the no facial hair rule still, and it's just like, come on, man.
Uncle Lou. See, this is why the Islanders will never win another cup, because he doesn't allow guys Yankees, to grow playoff beards.
That's why my Yankees haven't won one since 09.
Yeah, making Harrison Bader cut his hair was probably the worst thing I've ever seen. So I just want you to know that.
Yeah,
and if you don't fire Aaron Boone, you're
stupid. I like him as a manager. I like him as a manager. It's just he's been given crap. A baseball podcast. What's the name of it? If you want to go ahead and plug that.
Yeah, Frankly Speaking Baseball. Unfortunately, the season has ended for that, but we'll be back in April.
Okay. Hey, we got 3 months.
Right now, you need to tune into this. This is the place to be.
But where's the logo? Look in New Jersey. Logo's up there, right, Christian?
Yep, logo's up there. Yeah, look at that. It's beautiful. Yep. I made it by myself. Yep. It's fantastic.
Yeah, there we go. Yep.
It took me 8 hours. Almost as long as it took that character from SpongeBob to make that potato salad.
That was 3 days.
The New Jersey Devils, gentlemen.
That was 9 times longer.
You get,
hey, Matt guy.
You get Timo really. Meyer.
Continue.
I'm trying to keep this on track, I promise.
See, my face is red.
This is the kind of fun you're going to get on this program right here, guys. This is the kind of stuff you want to tune in for. Anyways. Let's just skip the Devils because we know what they brought back. For me, it was more of what the Rangers didn't bring back. You Panarin's don't hair. Bring back Tarasenko. You don't bring back Patrick Kane. You give up a lot of capital to get both of those guys, and
they just
what
died.
Do you have to show for it?
They died in the playoffs. They just died in the playoffs. I think that just losing that playoff round just kind of just killed them. And I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be like a season long, like, oh, we're hurt by this. But I mean, you can just tell that just kind of rocked them a lot. And I mean, Panarin cut his hair.
I think not only losing in the playoffs after they made all the moves and went out and became the NHL version of a super team and thought it would work and had it blow up in their face. I think the fact that they lost to who has been continually known as, you know, the ugly stepsister to both the Rangers and the Islanders. Like, the Islanders have always been the little brother to the Rangers. Yeah. The Devils have always been the ugly stepsister.
The Devils
have been they've been the cousin. They're the third musketeer. You know, they're the least important of the trio to a lot of people. And I think the Devils winning that series and winning it in the manner that they did derailed a lot of what the Rangers had planned as an organization. And I think it really pole vaulted the Devils to this point where, you know, I feel like they're the team to beat in this division other than Carolina. Now, those are my top two in this division right now. And when you look at it in its entirety, Columbus is out here shopping their defensemen. You know, the Penguins went all in. We're not sure if that's going to pay off. Will, your Capitals are seeming more and more to me when I look at the Islanders are meh. They're just there. The Devils, yeah, they're Carolina and New Jersey are 1 and 2 for me.
I think they overachieved a little bit, but they got the makings of a team that can, you know, they might be able to make it to round two again, I think. I think they
What I'm seeing is, or what I'm foreseeing, is another Washington-Pittsburgh classic playoff series, classic battle for that third spot in the division.
We don't even want to win a playoff round, apparently, unless we're playing them on the other side. The last few rounds we've won in the you know, in the playoffs that haven't ended in a Stanley Cup or even on that cup run was to play Pittsburgh. So it's like, if they're not on the other side, they don't want to win their playoff series and we don't want to win ours. Apparently. I don't know. It's a conspiracy, you know?
That's one way to put it. But yeah. Christian, when you look at this division from a Canes fan perspective, when you look kind of down below from the top of where you sit in our minds, yours and my mind, I don't know about Will's mind, but yours and my mind, when you look below you and see New Jersey and then kind of everybody else, what as a Hurricanes fan, or who as a Hurricanes fan other than New Jersey concerns you or worries you in this division?
I think it's going to be probably Pittsburgh being the most, because they had, of course, they have the talent. They have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. They have that age and the experience. But I think, like you said, the top two teams in the division, at least on paper, are going to be Carolina and New Jersey. And then I think it's going to be a dogfight for that third spot between Pittsburgh and a whole bunch of other teams. But the one that scares me outside of New Jersey would probably be Pittsburgh, just because Erik Karlsson can – he's proven if he can be the go-to guy, he can put points on the board. And Pittsburgh, they're kind of at the end of that at the end of that window where they could, before they had to blow up that core of Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, and the variety of other players they have. So Pittsburgh is a team
that, by the way, before we get this last break in, that the like that you brought up that trio, because the other night on opening night when they played Chicago, officially began their 18th season together, which surpassed Mariano Rivera, Jorge Posada, and Derek Jeter as the longest tenured trio on one team in all of major North American professional sports, NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball. They've been together for 18 years, and if this isn't the year that they can, this is going to be the year to do it. Because I think after this, Christian, I mean, they had to do some, as we said, they had to do some salary cap gymnastics, not just to get Erik Karlsson, but to keep Chris Letang and to keep Evgeny Malkin.
Yeah, and let me see if I can find it. See how many contracts they have left.
And while you're looking for that, I'll bring up that staying healthy is another big thing for them as well. It's like, again, Caps, same way, just everyone in this division. And I think that's throughout the league too, but specifically right in this division, because of just how long these cores have been together, how old some of these guys really are and stuff. So, but Erik Karlsson, I want to see him do well. I don't want to see him do well in a Pens jersey, but at the same time is, you know, if you're a fan of hockey, you're a fan of Erik Karlsson. And so you want him to do well just because of the injuries he's had to deal with, some of the off the ice stuff he's had to deal with, and just everything like that. So you want him to do well. And if he can stay healthy, and again, Letang has been showing that his injury problems, and I mean, what was it, the strokes, I mean, family issues and stuff like that, have really kept him out and at, you know, top level performance. So I think Karlsson is really going to step in, and he's going
to. I think Chris Letang's a guy you have to throw into that, a guy you just want to root for too.
Yeah.
With everything he went through last year, for him to get back on the ice and for him to be a part of this, you know, record setting, you know, season for tenure, it's a guy you want to root for. I know a lot of us don't want to root for Pittsburgh. I don't want to root for Sidney Crosby personally, but. Chris Letang, somebody that every time he's out there, you want to root for. Christian, go ahead.
Yeah. So just looking at Pittsburgh's salary contracts for the next few years, Crosby's a free agent in 25-26. Malkin's a free agent in 26-27, and Letang's deal ends in 28-29. So they've got that trio under contract for quite a while, but. Crosby's 36. He'll be 38 at the end of that. Malkin will be 39. And Chris Letang will be 41 when all those deals are expired. So we'll see what they do. with that.
And I think they're backloaded too.
I just don't think, especially with some of the talent they've got behind those guys, I don't think you can keep all three of those guys, whether it's for salary cap reasons or otherwise. One of them's either got to retire or they've just got to play somewhere else. They're going to get Phil Kessel. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Crosby's
they might bring him back.
Yeah, Crosby's cap hit is $8.7 million until the end of his deal. Malkin's is $6.1 million, and Letang's is $6.1 million. Then you have Carlson for the next 4 years. He's $10 million. So it'll be interesting.
I mean, that's a good $10 million to pay.
That right there, Carolina Hurricanes fans, is why you didn't want to go after this guy. Because now the Penguins are stuck with that $10 million cap hit, and you've got depth at the NHL level.
And they got their futures.
You know what kind you know the kind of depth that Carolina has in their farm system as far as D-men are concerned, and they play in front of one of the best goaltending prospects in all of hockey, who just simply doesn't have a spot on the roster because he doesn't have the experience to garner one. Anyways, let's get in one final break here. When we come back, we'll spin our way around the rest of the league. All right, we're back here on Third Line Grinders here on Tobacco Road Sports Radio Hockey Podcast here on TobaccoRoadSportsRadio.com. I'm Brett Wiseman. That's Christian Emery along with Will Flint. Fellas, dive around the rest of the league here as it is face-off week, and it's our opening face-off as a show. Of course, as you can tell if you're watching the video on YouTube, I am, yes, a St. Louis Blues fan.
Really?
I thought you liked
the Valjo Lakers of the SHL.
I have no idea who you're talking about. That's
exactly.
Swedish.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I do have an idea.
Milota,
okay,
Boleslav.
Cool. Gesundheit. Anyways. You look at the Central Division. For me, fellas, I like to think of this division of having a core four. And last year it was a little topsy-turvy in that regard because Winnipeg was at the top of it. For me, the core four, at least the last 4 or 5 years since the Blackhawks started to go downhill, was St. Louis, Dallas, Minnesota, and Nashville. Those were the four teams you could always count on being in some, you know, whatever order, were going to be the top four teams in that division. St. Louis finished fifth in that division last year. Nashville made a run of the playoff spot after they sold at the trade deadline. And then they go out and get guy on the back of that poster there, Ryan O'Reilly. Guy won the Conn Smythe Trophy 4 years ago and the Blues won the Stanley Cup. Go out and get him. He scores in his Preds debut against Tampa. You know, this is, I don't want to say Nashville's the favorite. I don't think you can look at any team other than Minnesota and say that they're the favorite. I know that's a bit of a hot take, maybe, given where Dallas finished last year, a couple of funky bounces off a stanchion away from a Stanley Cup final. And they went to another Stanley Cup final just 3 years ago in the bubble, but Dallas, to me, they're starting to age a little bit. And I think they've been starting to show that at times when it's really inconvenient for them. Yeah, I get it. Jason Robertson had like one of the greatest playoffs ever. But I don't think you can look at Dallas and tell me that they've got more depth than Minnesota does right now. Yeah, Minnesota got rid of Ryan Reeves. Oh my goodness. That's
about 2 minutes of ice time per game.
Exactly. I don't know why a bunch of Wild fans freaking out about that like the bad thing. You know, he's out for 2 seconds a game. And what did Ryan Reeves do in his debut for the Leafs the other night, guys? He fought Wi-Fi in like the first 5 seconds he was on the ice.
I mean, he got a hitting from behind call that, well, actually, no, he hit somebody from behind. And again, you see the numbers there, but yeah, I don't know. But
I don't think Ryan Reeves subscribes to the if you see the numbers, back off. School of hitting.
He was brought in for a jolt for, you know, well, we're getting into the Leafs later, but he was brought in for a certain reason. And I think he's shown that right away, because I don't think a Leafs player has fought anybody in two calendar years.
Let's talk about it right now. Who did they lose to in the playoffs? They lost to Florida, whose entire MO was get under your skin, right?
That's how you win. That's how you win.
That's how you win in the playoffs. That's how the Blues won the Stanley Cup in 19. So the Caps won the Stanley Cup in 18. They wore teams down and got under their skin. The Bruins may have had a lot more skill than the Blues did that year, but the Blues pretty much beat them down physically, mentally, psychologically. That's what Florida did to Toronto.
That's what they did to the Bruins, too.
Exactly. That's what they did to everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I completely forgot that series happened.
Well, it wasn't a sweep, remember?
Well, yeah, I think they forgot that series. The players didn't know there was a series going on, so.
But what are we talking about here?
That's
the problem. Was they ran into Vegas, who had the exact same MO they did. But Toronto went out and got not one, but two. They got Ryan Reeves and then basically a carbon copy of Ryan Reeves behind him to go out there and
actually score,
run around and hit anything that moves, to be a pest, you know? And they did that because they had to deal with people like Matthew Tkachuk, because people like Matthew Tkachuk and Rocco Gudas knocked them out of the playoffs, and that the last picture Leafs fans saw was Gudas standing over their goaltender screaming in his face. Like, that's the last picture of your season.
Dubas leaving is the last picture they see, but you know.
Well, that was a very good picture.
Or rather, getting fired now because of reasons, but you know, whatever.
Was he fired? I think it was more of a either
mutual termination or something like that. But it was
it was either you're out of here or we're going to make the decision for you. So, you know, but you look at where that Toronto team stands in that Atlantic division. Let's turn there. Look at where that Toronto team stands, that Atlantic division. I think you see a bit of a regression from them. I think you might see a little bit of a regression from Boston. I don't think no Bergeron is going to equal a bad Boston Bruins team. But well, I also don't think that any team is going to take you as seriously with a 5'11", 185-pound soaking wet rodent running around with the C, because he was the only guy you had the option to give it to.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone counted the Bruins out for, you know, what, the past two seasons. They said, oh, the Bruins aren't going to make the playoffs. They're not going to do this. They're not going to do that. They're too old. And there are a lot of Bruins fans in the upstate of South Carolina. I've played with a lot of them in men's league. And a shout out to them. Most of them came from obviously New England and stuff like that, but it's just, it's hard to count them out because you never know really what they have. And it just seems like they always have something going, whether it's a hot goaltender, it's someone scoring goals. It's just, there's something in the water up there in New England. I don't know where to go.
Fair assessment, but I have a hard time just looking at this team and thinking that, look, they're not going to be as good as they were last year and have the greatest regular season of all time again. Like, not going to happen.
If they do, I'll eat my shoes.
Yeah.
My sandwich is a French
shoe.
I'll
eat my socks, but.
Just what Subway is, isn't it? I'm not helping. I'm going to get fired.
Oh, goodness.
I've been on my best behavior the entire time.
For goodness sakes, Christian. You look at the Atlantic. You look at the Canadian team specifically. I think Ottawa actually might be the sleeper out of this group. I think Ottawa and Detroit both are going to surprise a lot of people because of the young talent that they have. They've got the veteran experience around those guys. We talked about Drew and Tarasenko in Ottawa. You've got guys like David Perron that can kind of lead the way there in Detroit. Detroit has depth everywhere. And they were, remember, they were only about 10, 12 points out of a playoff spot a year ago, I think. So, of course, you've got Buffalo as well, who just locked up Rasmus Dahlin for the next 15 years on a contract extension or whatever it was. And you saw the kind of year Tage Thompson had last year. So can't look at Buffalo like they're some kind of slouch anymore. I think this is really the landscape of the Atlantic Division has kind of been flipped upside down to where we can lump in Detroit and Ottawa and Buffalo as threats to where we would put them at 5, 6, and 7 every time we would predict this division in previous years. Just like with the Central Division last year, you probably didn't have Winnipeg at the top of it. You probably didn't have, you know, St. Louis at 5th, but things get shaken up. They get shaken around. I think the Blues will be better this year. I think the Blues will make the playoffs. There's a lot of people that think the Blues will not, but, you know, Will knows a lot about a guy named Jacob Vrana, had 13 goals in 26 games since he came over from the Detroit Red Wings, and the Blues basically just took a flyer on him, and it worked. You know, once he started working with Steve Ott, the assistant coach, Something changed, and they also picked up Kasperi Kapanen from the Penguins, who had 10 goals in those last 25 games when he got picked up off waivers because the Penguins simply just didn't have a spot for him. And the Blues were in the midst of selling off the O'Reillys and the Tarasenkos of the world, and Brayden Schenn was the right choice to make the captain. That's why he's on that jersey back there. I think Robert Thomas was a good younger guy to give one of the A's to. And then two of the other more seasoned guys you give the A's to in Parayko and Faulk. And you look at the defensive unit that's getting a heck of a lot of money. They're going to have to live up to being one of the highest paid defensive units in the league. Of course, that's dependent on Marco Scandella staying on the ice, which is easier said than done. But, you know, before we wrap things up here, let's give our Stanley Cup final predictions. Will.
Oh, God, you want to do this early? I don't really like doing predictions about the playoffs and things this early in the year because it's a crapshoot. I mean, yes, there are a few teams. Like, I know daggum well that the Flyers are not making the Stanley Cup final, and I know that about, like, maybe three other
teams. I don't even think they win 30 games, Will.
I don't know. Torts, here's the thing. Guys like playing for Torts. And so, you know, he's not Brendan Shanahan. Close enough. No, he's not a Babcock type guy where he's a piece of work off the ice. But
let's see, how long did he last in Columbus? 72 hours?
I think it was 2 seconds, really, to be honest with you. No, so I think that Torts is going to get them to at least over 30. I think they'll get over 30 wins, maybe. I don't know.
I think that's the benchmark, but quickly because we're running out of time here.
What's okay, all right. Just take a knee, man. No. You know what? On good faith here, or just positive thinking, Caps and Ducks, let's go. No.
All right, that's it. Caps, Ducks. He's sticking with it. Trevor Zegras is going to have an absolutely monster season come out of absolutely nowhere.
I didn't know he scored points. The Mighty Ducks are back. I didn't know he could score points. I just thought he could do flips and tricks. I didn't know he actually did anything worth
lacrosse deeks and things.
I didn't know. I didn't know he could do anything worth that contract. No, I'm going to go Caps and Stars. Caps and Stars.
Yeah, I can see that. Christian and I both, I think we know what we're going with. We're going with the Carolina-Edmonton 06 rematch on paper.
on paper, yeah.
This is also not written in pen, by the way.
I reserve the right to change my pick.
Yeah, it's too early. It's too early.
This is written on a dry erase board on the side of the bench that comes out with only under 2 minutes to go in the third period and trailing by one. That specific dry erase board is what this is written on.
It's a Microsoft Surface tablet.
That's what I'm using, actually, to record this.
NFL. But...
No, you just draw on the bench, actually, with the marker now. Or, you know, that's what we used to do. Anyways. Or get a puck and just start marking up the bench a little bit. No? Okay.
Works, too.
It's rubber.
The simple fact is, this can be erased, and it's subject to change at any time. We are not bound and determined by these predictions and picks that you may or may not hear on this program. And any opinion to the contrary is, objectively speaking and biasly speaking, wrong. We are always right. That's why
Taylor,
we're on
Taylor
show.
Swift and versus Ryan Reynolds in the Stanley Cup final. My money's on Ryan Reynolds. That's it.
You mean Ottawa?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Ottawa. No, that's right. He didn't buy them, unfortunately.
Yeah,
anyway,
no, that would have been great.
We got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. For Christian Emery and Will Flynn, I'm Brett Wiseman. Thanks for tuning in to our premiere episode. There's a lot more shenanigans to come and tomfoolery. Be sure to stick around and watch some hockey. It's going to be a fun opening weekend.